thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Friends, what I'm going to speak about tonight probably started off after Brother Des one Sunday morning came around the table, and if you remember, a few weeks ago he was speaking from Matthew 27 about the gall that Jesus was offered when he was on the cross. After that, there's a wee bit of echo, Clive, I'm okay. Oh, gee. Rough out voice. After that, I did do a wee bit of reading on down through the chapter, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight in Matthew chapter 27, verses 38 to 54. If you want to look that up, get it ready, that is fine. If you want to do that, you can do that now, okay? So it'll be Matthew 27, verses 38 to 54. So that is what we're looking at today, and the title for it tonight is... Me being a football guy, I thought one of the illustrations they use about football matches is a game of two halves, and I've changed it a little bit, and we're looking at this tonight as a day of two halves, a day of two halves. And as we go through it, you'll know what I mean when we get to the point that we're trying to get to. I'm not going to read it all out and then speak on it. We're going to go through it just little bit by little bit as we read through Matthew chapter 27. And you know, friends, very much like the title tonight, A Day of Two Halves, our lives are two halves. Because there's a time in your life when you did not know Jesus. And then there's that point when you come to know Jesus. And then the second half of your life is you will live in harmony with Jesus because he's your Saviour and Lord. So there's a first half and a second half and half time, if you want to use that illustration, is when you come to know Jesus. And that's when the change happens. Now, the difference in some of us is that some people will have a short first half and they've come to know Jesus very early in their life, and therefore then they have a long second half. But there are people who have a long first half, unfortunately, and there's no harm in that because Jesus can meet anybody at the point of their need, be they 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, or even 100, if there's anybody in here tonight of that age. So you can have a long first half, but a short second half. But the important point is that at some stage in your life, you have come to know Jesus. And that's what it's all about, friends. And that's the first, I'm just going to put that out here at the very start. Do you know Jesus? Has there been a half time in your life, if it were? When you have come to know Jesus, you've bowed the knee, and you've accepted him into your life, and you're now living in the second half of your life. Whatever time scale that the Lord will allow you. Or are you still in the first half of your life tonight? If you are, you need Jesus. Simple. I can't put it any plainer than that. You need Jesus. So we'll start reading. Verse 38 of Matthew 27. And the first half of this day that we're going to look about is very dark, it's very dull, it's very grim, and it's not looking good for our Saviour. Because he has, as we all know, he was tried, he was spat at, his beard was plucked out, his body was marred and his visage was marred more than any other. And it had been a fairly grim day up to now, friends. It had been a fairly grim day up to now. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. And that's where we are, and we pick the story up in verse 38. Then the two robbers were crucified with him, one in the right and the other in the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. We'll just pause there. Even on the cross, he was still being despised, being rejected. People were throwing abuse at him. People were hurling abuse at him. They were mocking the sayings that he had said to them. They were mocking the warnings that he had said to them while he was alive. And everything seems to be so dark and dreary. And no hope, no future, no nothing. And I'm not going to dwell too much in the first half tonight, because at the end of the day, the second half is always much better than the first. But that's where we find our story tonight. Jesus is on the cross. And he's on there for you and for me, for you and for me, dear friend. And now we see a little bit of a change in our story. Now from the sixth hour, we're in verse 45. Until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. You have to bear in mind, friends, that back in biblical times, the cloak wasn't the same as our cloak. We go from 12 midnight, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, out round to 12, and then 13, 14, 15, 16, right up round to the 24-hour cloak. Back in biblical times, the time started 6 a.m. in the morning. That was the first hour. So it comes to 12 o'clock in the day and darkness covers the earth. From 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, complete darkness. Now, I want to say something, friends. This is not just a cloudy day that rolls in. You know the way we've had plenty of them lately, haven't we, where it's just cloudy, just dull, grey, overcast. Need the lights on in the car maybe some state. In the middle of the day, you're driving along and you think, we need the lights on here, do you know? We're not talking about a day like this here, friends. We're talking about a day that goes pitch black. At 12 o'clock noon, when the sun is highest in the sky, we go pitch black. And from that to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there is 3 hours where there is total darkness over the earth. What must that have been like for those that were standing around? What were they thinking? Why did it happen? Friends, these 3 hours was when the Son of the world was placed on the Lamb of God. 3 hours. A couple of thoughts. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. One and three, three and one. 3 hours. I'm amazed. And I don't mean to sound irreverent when I say this. Do I know something, friends? I'm amazed that 3 hours done it. Everybody's sin, from the beginning of time to whenever the end of time will be, placed on our Saviour on a cross, 3 hours. pitch darkness, pitch blackness. I wondered about that. My thought on that there was that nobody could see what was being placed on him. There wasn't too much to comprehend for each and every one of us. Because do you know what? Your sin at that moment was being placed on Jesus. Every one of us at that moment was being placed on Jesus. On an old rugged cross outside Jerusalem. And friends, if you've come to know him, you're in the second half as we spoke, but I'm going to go back. Do you know Jesus? Do you need Jesus tonight? Because it goes back to this point. He paid the price for you. You're free tonight only because of this moment in history. There's nowhere else you can go, friends, to be free from your sin. He is on the cross. The sin of the world is being poured out upon him. And it's a dark, lonely place for our Saviour. Verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Please forgive me if my pronunciation is not great. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus cries out at the end. It's almost as if he can take no more. Seems to be he has had enough. And then the start of the second part of the day starts to come in. Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Now, they had got part of the story, right? Yes, they had sort of, hold on, what's going on here? This darkness had been about. I'm sure they were probably confused. And now Jesus is crying out. But they got it wrong on who he was shouting for. They thought it was Elijah. And immediately, whatever happened, it seemed to spur some one of them. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. So whatever happened when Jesus spoke these words, this was the start of the change, folks. This was the start of the second half of the day. 3 years of darkness was put, I'm sure they were probably wondering what was going on. And now Jesus has cried out. And now one or two are just starting to think, what's happening here? Of course, there's still the dissenters. And the rest said, verse 49, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. In Mark's recollection of the same story, we hear that the phrase, truly this was the Son of God, is slightly different. Almost the same version as what we read here in verse 54 further on. Because we hear that the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened. They feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And Mark says that as well. Truly this was the Son of God. Luke has a slightly different version, the eyewitness account, and reveals a few other points that Matthew and Mark don't. But we see in Luke 23 and 47 that the centurion glorified God and said, certainly this was a righteous man. So things are starting to change. Things are starting to improve. People are starting to realize, hold on a minute. This man on which we have put in the cross and which we have crucified And he's starting to draw it with a few. Truly he was the Son of God. In verse 51, we hear about the veil of the temple being torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. For those of you who, most of you who are Bible scholars and you're well versed in your Bible, you'll know about the veil in the temple. You'll know about the place. For those who maybe don't know, in the veil of the temple, if this was the temple, there would have been a large veil here at the front. And I'm not talking about a thin curtain or vertical blinds or anything like that there. This was a thick curtain at the very front. And in here was the Holy of Holies. And only the priests could go in there at designated times. And he had to prepare himself to go in there. And when Jesus had gave up the ghost, the veil ripped from top to bottom, friends. I was wondering, I wonder if there had been a few people in the temple at that time. When the veil ripped, I wonder what they thought. Because they knew they couldn't go in there, and they knew that to them the presence of God was in there. And the veil just ripped in front of them. God poured out. I wonder what they thought about when that happened. I would say they were probably quite scared about it, because they believed there'd be certain death to them when that would happen. And yet, when this veil was torn from top to bottom, it wasn't certain death. It was certain life was being released. Certain life. And I want to tell you something else. This veil wasn't just ripped a wee bit in the middle so that, you know, that God didn't peer out through it to think, what's going on in here? This veil was ripped from top to bottom because God, Jesus, had paid the price on Calvary for each and every one of us. There's a wee challenge in this as well that I want to bring to those who are born again and believers and following Jesus. The veil was ripped in two so that it couldn't be erected again. But you know, sometimes in our lives, when we're being challenged by God, when God wants to take us a little bit deeper with him, when God wants us to do something for him, when God wants us to maybe get involved in the children's holiday Bible club that's coming up in a couple of weeks' time, whenever God wants us to be involved in maybe the mission which is coming up in September, and God wants you to play a wee part in that, whatever wee part that may be, and he wants you to be involved, and he's just trying to drag you a little bit deeper into him, sometimes the veil goes back up. Sometimes we want to close the curtains or shut the vertical blinds. Friends, when God is calling you, we can't turn around and close the blinds or close the veil again. He's calling you to do a job for him. Whatever small or large that task may be, friends, he's calling you to do a job. But sometimes we try to get the veil back up again. Do you know the reason I know that? It's because I've been guilty of that myself. I'm not looking at you and pointing the finger. I've been guilty of that myself in the past. Try to get the veil back up again. Friends, the veil's gone, and it is gone for good. Jesus has paid it all. Jesus has paid it all. Friends, you need him. If you haven't got him, you need him. This is the Jesus that even creation, there was an earthquake as well as the veil breaking and ripping from top to bottom. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. What must that have been like for the people in this time? Coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Imagine you going down into the mill town tomorrow morning and bumping into somebody that you knew had passed away 4, 5, 6, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. But that's what happened here. Veil rips. I think that would be to let the spiritual, the ones who were on the spiritual side of things, to know that Jesus was who he was. And then the rocks, there's an earthquake, and then people start to come out of the graves. I will tell you something. You see, that's what happens, friends, in people's lives whenever we get to the second half. And we're in the second half of this day. Truly this was the Son of God, verse 54, is the saying, is the phrase that has been, the centurion has shouted out. We go back to verse 43 that we said earlier on. He trusted in God when he was being blasphemed. Let him deliver him. Now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Yes, they were blaspheming in the first part of the day. They're not blaspheming now, because it's the penny's starting to drop. He is. Sorry, that was the wee point I wanted to make. They're saying here he was the Son of God. He wasn't. There's no was about it. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. There are no was. That's past tense. He is the Son of God, and he died on the cross on that day, and he paid the price for your sin, friends. And he is, and he still is, over 2,000 years later. And I want to tell you something. On into all eternity, he is the Son of God. In closing, we're coming to the end tonight. In John, there's a slightly different slant in the story. You remember what I said at the start with Desi talking about the gall that was offered up to Jesus? And Desi rightly said that morning it was about pain numbing, and some commentators would talk about embalming as well. And Jesus didn't want that, and he refused it at that time. But in John, we see that there's sour wine brought out at this stage. Vinegar diluted down. And if we look at John 19, verses 28 to 30, there's a couple in this portion of Scripture, there's a couple of phrases that Jesus says he thirsts. Jesus says he thirsts. And this is not the same liquid that was mentioned earlier on. This is different. This is this sour wine. And this sour wine would have been there primarily for the soldiers and those who would have been working, because at the end of the day, crucifixion was work for some people. And it had been warm. It would be dusty. It wouldn't be a nice place to be. I'm assuming there wouldn't be too much shelter about. So they needed refreshment through the day, and there would have been this barrel or jar of sour wine for the soldiers to dip into and drink out of. And Jesus says, I thirst. And I don't think this is by chance that this happens, friends. Because Jesus had been hanging on the cross now for several hours. He had been through everything that he had been through. And remember, always remember, it is for you he done it, friend. And someone come with a drink. They dipped and reached it up for him to drink. And I think that had to happen. because Jesus' voice and his throat with what had happened to him. He would be dehydrated, his throat would be dry, his throat would be parched, he would be struggling from everything that had happened to him, all the beating, the crucifixion, the nails, and his hands. And it was a torture. That's what it was meant to be, a real torture. Somebody comes and gives him a little drink, and he takes it. And do you know why he took the drink? Because he had one thing left to say. And he needed his voice, and he needed his throat wet so that he could pronounce it loud and clear to everybody. And it's still as loud and clear tonight as it was all those years ago, because he mustered up every last fibre of his body to hang on the cross and shout, "It is finished." And he shouted, I've no doubt that our Lord shouted that with as much gusto as he could muster from his voice in the condition that he was in. And that's why he got the wee drink at the end, I believe. And he was able to shout that because he had come and he had conquered death, friends. And because of that, you're able to live tonight and you're free tonight because of the work of Calvary. Are you willing to give your life to him tonight, bearing in mind all that he's done for you? Is it a challenge to the rest of us, what Jesus did for us at the cross? I think sometimes we try to butter it up a wee bit because it's a cruel story. It's a hard story. I know that some people have made it into films, and it can be X-rated for its barbarity. Friends, that's what he went through for you and me. That's why he hung on the cross. That's why there was darkness. Because it was your sin and my sin that was placed on him. It wasn't his own, it was ours. But I'm thankful tonight that there are many in here, and you are in the second half, because you've come to him. But again, I'll ask for that person, 1, 2, 3, or 4, that may be in here tonight. You're at your halfway point. I don't know what age you are. There's younger ones over here. There's older ones across. If a younger person comes, then their second half's going to belong. If you're older, no harm, as I said at the start, no harm in it. Your second half's just going to be a little bit shorter. But I can tell you something, God can take you and God can make you into something that you can go out and be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. Even in 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever it may be. I know it's going to be a short second half, but he can use you. He can use you. But you've got to come. You've got to give your life to him. You've got to accept him into your heart. You've got to say, yeah, Lord, I'm wrong. I've got this wrong. I know I've been bad, but I know that you, and I want to tell you something, I know that there's people in here, and you just know that that's the way. You just know that Jesus is the answer. When we come around the cross, it's tough sometimes. It's tough to talk about these things. And I don't fully understand at all why he had to go through it, why it had to be as it was. But that is what it is. Surely you can't walk away from someone who went through so much for you and for me. Gave it all. Does he not deserve our all, friends? I know we'll stumble and fall. Yep, we'll let him down. We can't be putting up the veil again. We can't be putting up the veil again. It's gone. If he's calling you to do something, if he's calling you to get into something, go with it. Wholeheartedly. Will it be tough? Will it be scary? Will you have worries and fears? You bet. You will. But he will hold you fast. He will hold you fast. Why? Because he loves you so. He will hold you fast. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to drop you. He's not going to cast you out if you make a mistake. He's not going to cast you out if you get it wrong. He's not going to cast you out if you. I've been a real horrocks of this. He'll hold you fast, and he'll pick you up, and he'll get you going again, and you'll get back on the bike, as it were, and you'll go again, and you might fall again, but you'll keep going. We hear it all the time. It's all about encouragement. Come on, friends. There's work to be done in the weeks that lie ahead, and it's going to take time, it's going to take effort, it's going to take prayer, but the rewards for those who are outside of Christ, some of them as our family members, and we've talked about that before. Oh, the rewards, friends, to see souls won for Christ simply because he went to Calvary for you and for me, and he hung on that cross, and in those dark, dark hours, the sin of this world was placed on him. Can you tell me anywhere else you read about it where somebody has paid that price? Anywhere? In all the books in all the world? Anybody? I don't. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Adele picked the pieces for today, and she picked this last piece that we're going to sing this evening, and it's sort of, I don't know it. It tied so well in with what I was speaking. She didn't know what I was speaking on. But it ties so well in together. We're going to ask the group to come back up and we're going to sing it. I want you all to bow your heads tonight, friends. I'm going to make a wee appeal just before we sing. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, and nailed to a cross of wood. Can you move on to verse 2, please, Robert? Thank you. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed crowding your blood-stained brow. Verse 3, please, Robert. Thank you. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. The curtain was torn in two. The dead are raised to life. Finished! The victory cry. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free, because death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live. One, through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. The Son of God slain for us. What a love, what a cost. And we stand forgiven at the cross.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.